All right, we'd like to welcome you to the Highland City Planning Commission. Thank you for being here. We appreciate it. We are going to go ahead and call this to order, and our invocation will be by Trent. Is that all right? And our Pledge of Allegiance by Chris. Go ahead and start that.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this day, for the time which we have to be together and to discuss the matters of the city. We pray that we will be led and directed to make good and wise choices. And this was our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We're going to go ahead and, do you want to start with public appearances first? Yes?
We have a public hearing later, so they can come up for that.
Okay. So if we open up later for a public hearing on one of our discussion items, would you prefer to come up and speak then after we've addressed what we're talking about? We can somehow give you, maybe we can give you more information so that you know when you're making your comments. It would be more. Everything unrelated to the agenda. Absolutely. We're going to go ahead and open up our public appearance. Please state your name, your address, and you have 3 minutes to make comment on anything you'd like. Later. Okay, great. Then we'll go ahead and close our public hearing, and they don't have anybody on the line. So, thank you. Okay, we'll go ahead and close. Approval of our previous meeting minutes for.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the meeting minutes.
All right. Can you turn on your mic? Thank you.
Okay, my name is spelt wrong in most everything on the minutes. That's all. It's M-A-U-G-H-A-N, and it says N in a lot of places. And it says A-N in some. So that's the only thing. But it's, you know, it's good to get that right. With that amendment, I would second the approval.
Okay, let's vote on it.
Go ahead.
Oh, yes.
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 All right, all approved. Thank you very much. All right, the public hearing on fence and retaining wall regulation on amendments. I'm just going to ask, would we like to do our presentation and then do the public hearing? So that way we may be answering some of your questions and then we'll turn it over to you, okay? All right, thank you very much. Rob, go ahead.
Thank you. I've also invited them here to talk. I've talked with them before, so... this has been an item, as I've stepped into the planner role more directly, a lot of what I do is related to fences, and as we've had a more active code compliance person with the city, fences get brought up a lot. So we did a big overhaul of fencing code, I think you remember, about a year ago. This is kind of touching a few other things that have come up since then. The city council had some brief discussion, and they said, yeah, we think we need to make some changes, take it to the planning commission to get your take on it, and you to make the recommendation you have to do by state law. This is a legislative matter. This means you don't have to make any particular decision. What we'll be asking you to do today is to review some proposed amendments, consider any other or different amendments. If you don't like the amendments I propose, suggest something different or say don't do it. You have very broad discretion to say yes or no to anything in here. The code's already written. Feel free to, as you look at this, say, I think something better here would be, you know, is more appropriate and have that discussion. So the code amendments I proposed, you saw a lot of red in the staff report. A lot of it was just consolidating a lot of definitions. Some things were said two or three times throughout the code. It didn't make a lot of sense to me. They had definitions kind of scattered throughout the code, so I proposed consolidating a lot of definitions so it's up front at the top. People know what we mean when we talk about different terms. We say an athletic court fencing. What does that mean? Open versus privacy fencing. We used open or opaque and closed. And so I just standardize some language, what screen walls and theme walls and all of that mean. As for your information, we have three types of fences generally in the city code. We have your standard fence, which is anything. And as Commissioner Howden pointed out, it also includes vegetation currently in our code, so trees, hedges, things of that nature. But your fence is your standard, what you think of as a fence, a concrete, you know, precast wall, a CMU, a wood fence. Those are all fences. A theme wall is what we require developers to put in along collector roads and certain open space areas. So when you drive, you know, Alpine Highway has one, Canal Boulevard has a lot of those. Those precast walls that we require developers to put in is a theme wall. A screen wall is much rarer, but those are usually between commercial areas and residential areas. We ask when commercial development go in that they screen off their use from a distant adjacent property owner. So we'll have screen walls around garbage, you know, dumpsters, or between a residential area and a commercial area. So those are our three overarching types of fences. And then we have retaining walls, which are retaining walls. I've also clarified the approval process to say that I can approve them with conditions. A lot of times when we approve a fence permit, I'll say something like, you can do this, just make this one change on here, or make sure you stay 14 feet from the curb or whatever else. We don't have to go back and forth with residents. It wasn't clearly in the code, so I want to make sure I could do that. A lot of times our code was written to say you can't do a fence, but it didn't ever say you could do a fence. So I said, I want to make it clear, these types of fences are permitted, and here's the exception where you can't, just so it's clear to everyone when reading the code what is allowed. Clarifying that those theme and screen walls are private, meaning they're closed. You can't put up a split rail fence and call that a theme wall. And the final kind of clarification I propose is making sure people know that when you build a fence, you have to put it on your property. This comes up sometimes between private property owners. Sometimes they'll put it on the property line without talking to their neighbor. It's actually a trespass unless you get their consent. Usually you get their permission. A lot of times we've had it with city issues. We have people building in parks. Normally we don't really care, but sometimes we have sprinkler lines that run right along our property. We've had people drill footings and cut through them and cut our wires and our sprinkler lines. So we try to remind people, you can't build in our property or anyone else's without their permission. So those are just minor clarifications to the code, but if you have any questions on those, I'm happy to address that further. But if not, we have some more substantive changes I'd like to address with the Planning Commission. One was adding a definition of retaining wall. Now, you think this would be pretty self-evident what a retaining wall is, but over the last few months, I have had several questions what counts as a retaining wall. So I'm defining it specifically as a structure designed to resist lateral displacement of soil or other materials to a slope that would not naturally be sustained. Typically a steep, near vertical or vertical slope. And then the key point, in accordance with accepted engineering practices, building code requirements, and or manufacturer specifications. I've had some questions of someone put in, there are these little kind of pre-built, like little rock wall things that they're kind of have a gap behind it where you can fill in dirt and things. Then they put a fence in front of it, and they said, overall, that entire system works as a retaining wall, so I get an 8-foot fence. And I had to say, but that's not a standard. It's not like, you know, you put your footing in, you put a rock wall in. Does that really count as a retaining wall? And so I asked him to get me manufacturer specifications from these precasting things. This operates as a retaining wall. So I want this clear in code that I have that authority just to make it clear when it's a retaining wall and when it's not.
But a retaining wall is when you have one elevation and another elevation. If both lots have an elevation and they've done this and called it retaining, that's not retaining.
That's not a retaining. And that was the other situation that's I had. I had a property owner who just built it was a berm, and then they made it. We told them they couldn't do that. So then they built like a little concrete thing and said, that's a retaining wall, and put the fence on top of it. And I said, you're not retaining anything. Like, well, retaining some water or drains, like that's not, it actually has to have something behind it. And if you have a two-foot retaining wall, but you only have dirt on one side up to 1 foot, the code now clarifies that extra foot is a fence. You can have it, it counts towards your fence height. That wasn't clear in the code before. So now it's saying it actually has to retain something. You can't just berm it up.
Retain a lot of something.
Yeah, a lot of something.
Like another lot.
And I out in there, you can't just put a planter box. I've had this happen. I had someone put a planter box behind their fence and say, well, now it's retaining a planter box. I said, no, you built a planter box and you put a fence on top of it. That's not a retaining wall. So this is trying to catch, they didn't have a good definition before. So now I'm trying to say, this is what a retaining wall is. This is what it's not. So it's clear for everyone going forward. It doesn't include structural walls, so your basement walls, your foundation walls don't count. And we're allowed to have daylight basements, so you can retain out up to 11 feet for a retaining wall coming out. So that wasn't really clear how that worked, so I wanted to clarify that. This is the one that really spurred the conversation with the city council, was trail or open space corridor fencing. So the current rules, they're complex, but they kind of make sense when you think about it. If you have a narrow corridor, so 30 feet or less, you know, you can picture your standard trail is about 10 feet wide, 10 feet on either side. So a lot of our trails between homes are more like 10 feet wide and 5 feet, so you have a 20-foot corridor. Those narrow ones kind of just run between lots. If you have that narrow corridor and you're not next to a road, because sometimes we have trails near roads, the fence you put in is limited to 4 feet of privacy, and the top quarter or third, last 2 feet, have to be open. So you'll have like a full wall, and it'll be kind of slatted at the top or latticed at the top. So that's what's required if you have a small corridor. That's also required if your corridor is wider, but it's long, so you can't see it from two places. So there's not a street nearby where you can see it, so it's still kind of an enclosed corridor. We ask for that to still be open. The longstanding goal of the city when they've adopted these codes was to kind of maintain an open feel and to make sure we're not creating narrow alleys where people can't see into the trail corridor. So someone's keeping an eye on what's going on back there. It does reduce privacy for the residents who live next to it because now people walking the corridor can see through the top part of the fence.
Just going to ask real quick, is there situations that are grandfathered in?
There are. We have a few of those, and the rule has always been as soon as you touch your fence, you have to bring it up to code. We've had people who claim they're grandfathered in, but we've always required a fence permit. So usually you might have built it a long time ago, but if you didn't get the city's permission, it's not actually grandfathered in.
And is there any exceptions if there is a canal on one side, so there isn't fence? Okay.
There is not. Now you could propose one. This would be a good time for that if you want to consider that. So that's the current rule. So if it's narrow and not near public right away, you have to have that open space at the top. Even if it's wide, but it's too long and not seeable from public places, you still have to have that open space. We had some residents ask, and the council said, well, let's consider this. They wanted to potentially add two new exceptions to allow for the full privacy fence, 6 feet all the way up.
On the corridor?
Mm-hmm. In two different circumstances. One, you have a corridor for a trail that's still narrow, 30 feet or less, but it's not very long, so you have it one lot deep. And the other is, if you have a corridor that's still long, but the other side is public property, that's not fenced off or open fencing. So I have some examples to kind of walk through what we're talking about.
So this side is private, open, and then public.
Yes. Freedom Elementary is the example we're talking about there. Gotcha. We have a very long trail, but it's a chain link on one side. So this is where they want to allow people to have privacy fences. This is Windsor Meadows. It's near Murdoch Canal. There's a cul-de-sac and a short little trail that connects from the cul-de-sac to the Murdoch Canal Trail, about 100 feet long. This is what it looks like. You can see this is an example of the type of fencing you'd do. They actually did more than they had to, but their exception would allow these property owners to put a full 6-foot fence along this trail corridor, privacy, because even though I've taken with a camera, but it's not a very long connection. It'd be about 70 feet long of actually enclosed with how fences work. It's not very long.
Where do you draw the line?
We're proposing 200 feet or one lot, whichever is less. Another example, this is kind of the one that spurred this, was in Spring Creek Park, southeast of here. You can see there's a trail corridor connecting the street to a park. It's about 170 feet long, and there's the pictures. You see on the one side, the property owner put in a fence without that privacy or the openness on top. Their fence contractor told them they were fine, and then I talked to them and they weren't fine. So this would become, if the proposal is to allow that privacy fence to stay rather than requiring the top 2 feet to be open, because you can see I'm standing in the park on the picture on the left looking towards the street. On the right, I'm standing on the street looking into the park.
This is the same picture.
Same picture from either side. So this is the example of how long. It's one lot deep, and we also put the caveat of not longer than 200 feet. So if you have a very long lot for some reason, you still couldn't go beyond 200 feet. So that's one exception they want to make, to allow that to be privacy fencing for those neighbors adjacent to that trail. The other example, there's probably a couple other places, but Freedom Elementary.
But Rob, in that situation, what does the one owner have to do that put the 6-foot privacy fence in the architectural wall?
So if this amendment doesn't pass, they'll have to tear out that wall and redo it with the top 2 feet being open. If this does pass, then they're fine.
Yes. So are they the ones that asked that we change it?
They're the ones who kind of, yes, they approached the council and asked this to be changed.
And they don't have to tear that down. They can just...
I mean, they could cut it.
Yeah, they can just
cut it. They could cut it, redo it. Yeah. There's a way. There's ways of fixing the fence. That's not why we make code. So they're the ones asking for this exception. Also along Freedom Elementary. So this is a very long trail, 900 feet long. So this would require the top 2 feet of all fences adjacent to the trail to be open. It's a pretty narrow trail. I have a bunch of pictures. This is me just walking down the trail. You can see on the left is Freedom Elementary with their chain link fence. So it's open. On the right are different property owners. You'll see a fully open fence, or not fully, but an open fence, and then a 4-foot high fence, which still would be permitted. And then on this one, that's a 6-foot fence on the right, so that's not currently allowed by the law. They would have to keep those top 2 feet open. And the last picture was just me looking back the other way, so you can kind of feel how long that corridor is. So they want to allow all of those property owners to have a 6-foot fence if they want. That's fully private.
So is the school required to leave the chain link fence there, or could they solid fence that down the road?
So our proposal, my thought is if we're amenable to allowing the closed fence, we then require the school to keep it open. I don't think they'd want to put in a private because it's more expensive.
I understand, but If it was to go solid,
I'd be concerned. That's almost 1,000-foot corridor. That'd be pretty enclosed and dark. But if the school keeps it open forever, I don't have as much of a concern.
For me, if we require the school to keep it open, and then
could we require the school to keep it open if
we can? And that's actually in my proposal, is to say you're allowed to use chain link, and if you're next to a narrow corridor, you have to keep it open in some fashion, which usually means chain link because it's cheaper for them. So those were the two additional exceptions they wanted to make to that top open corridor fencing rule.
Rob?
Yes.
Can you tell me, other than, even the obvious part, what is the concern? I'm assuming it's security or personal safety, but is there anything behind that that actually justifies that, or is that someone's opinion or personal experience that they want to, what are we trying to protect?
More the latter. It's more of the feeling of keeping trail corridors feeling open and spacious and having people's eyes on it. I don't think there's any hard data. We've talked to the police chief. You know, when sometimes it gets narrows and you'll have people who will, you know, vandalize a fence or graffiti on it. That does happen, but it also happens sometimes just at night because, you know, people are people. So it's more of a feeling of, and part of it is this kind of a policy decision of how do you want Highland to feel, and how do you want to feel walking on trails? Mm-hmm. So it's not a clear-cut answer one way or the other. Mm-hmm. It is kind of based on your opinion and the council's opinion of what you feel.
Okay, that I just heard many times it's a safety thing, and if that's the direction we're going, I would like some more data. But
it's been called a safety thing, but we don't have a hard data saying, you know, okay, when we do this, this results in a percentage more crime happening.
Yeah. I know I don't feel unsafe in Highland, but there are certain trails I won't walk down at night right now, even because what if? And, you know, I mean, Highland's great right now. What's going to be like in 10 years or 20 or 15 or tomorrow? Who knows? But I like the idea of having a trail open, you know, and the trails are great, you know, but that's just me. And I have no, like I said, I feel safe in Highland, but I still don't, quite, you know, unless it's open, I don't feel comfortable walking down the trails.
I'm trying to imagine who's using this trail that's right next to the school, and I'm guessing that probably quite a lot of kids walking to school. And yeah, it seems like it would be nice if it was more open for the kids so that people can see the kids. The kids can see out. No hanky
panky. So this is one of the proposed amendments. If, you know, the commission majority feel that you'd rather not make these exceptions and require property owners to keep that open even in those circumstances, you can make that recommendation. I'm hearing, I think, at least a couple of you feeling maybe that exception's not worth putting in.
Hey, Rob, can I ask you, do you know by Highland Elementary where they've got the little flashing light crossing just south of Highland Elementary? Probably, yeah, it's...
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's a good question.
That just looks like a luge run. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one I use as well.
It just feels kind of squishy.
Yeah, in part.
It's more like a Bronx feel.
Yeah.
Are you saying that section has 6 foot tall fencing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, part of the problem I saw with your picture was some of those plants are just blocking the trail.
So I wanted to bring. Oh. So where?
Go south, just slightly south.
So it is, everyone knows it by, you go by the llamas, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a trail that goes through this neighborhood. I'm looking for the trail. I don't know which direction we're seeing.
It's a little further south.
It's
more south?
It's not,
no. Yeah, just north of it. Right here. It's this trail right in between those two properties you were just touching. Go up and then on the other side of the street.
Right there.
Yeah. Oh.
Other side of the street now to the east.
It connects the church. And
right
the
there. That's
so
the
there.
Trail right here.
Yeah, there it is. Yep.
Yep.
So that trail, because it is more than one lot deep here before it connects to public place and it's not near any public property, so that should be required to be the top 2 feet are open. I'm sure there's probably some that aren't. It's more of once we get a complaint, then we'll go talk to the property owner. But so that trail would still stay, the requirement be 4 feet. You could have 4 feet privacy, but the top 2 feet have to be 55% open for that trail all through there.
And are some of those properties older than the trail?
Yes.
So yeah. That would be the problem.
We have told people where you built your fence before trail existed, you can keep it until you go to touch your fence. We have that in the Canterbury. Mm-hmm. We're doing the new trail connection. A lot of people built their fences when there was no trail. There's no way for people to walk there. But now we're telling people, if you ever try to redo your fence, now you have to keep it open.
So along part of that trail, there is a canal, an irrigation canal.
Mm-hmm.
And so the other side is completely open or has this big buffer before another property owner's fences come. And a lot of them have built little bridges or have a gate that opens up into that area. Some have planted gardens out there. But anyway, so yeah, I was thinking about it in that context too.
Well, to your point on that, I walk that trail almost every day. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of areas where it's kind of scary or you would be concerned to be there at evening and there's no fence at all.
Yeah,
it's because of all the landscaping you described, mm-hmm. all the trees mm-hmm. hanging over. In the middle of summer, the trees combine,
it's
and it's
where
a
all
tunnel.
The kids build the forts.
Yeah,
I know.
Exactly. So while I get the we want an open fill, this fence will only be part of it. So,
well, that's landscaping.
So
too.
That's what I'm saying. Would you as a, would we like to make a recommendation that landscaping maintenance be part of a responsibility of the those? I know.
So this was an item I was discussing with Commissioner Howden. Part of the fence definition includes vegetation that
it does.
If you plant a hedge or a row of something that acts as a fence, it's supposed to be subject to the same fence regulations. I think that's probably one of the least enforced things in the city because we usually don't go after vegetation. And it's really hard, especially if it's trees. We're not going to tell someone to lop off their tree at 6 feet.
But that's something that can go out in our utility newsletter and say, please maintain those vegetation hanging over
and
the
we
trail.
And we have gone through and cut down trees where they start in damaging trails. We'll cut off trees, rip out the stumps. We could talk to, maybe there's more enforcement we could do, or just even clearing out when our crews are working on a trail. You know, we don't really want to like go along a fence and take a,
No, we don't.
Hedger and just cut everything that might kill something that grows over.
You could also state if it's a full-grown tree, you trim it up.
No, that's true. We could try to maintain it clearer for vegetation.
Instead of having it come all the way down, the view section could be cleared out.
I guess I'm getting at, I'd be fine with a 6-foot fence if you'd keep the greenery back because it's still wide open. And when I'm over 6 feet tall, so I can look over all those fences anyway, so it doesn't bother me at all. But somebody else that's shorter, maybe they have an issue. So I really am having a hard time with that limitation because I am concerned about people's property rights. Obviously, if they build there, they know what they're getting into. But I don't have an issue with that. It's more of the enclosed and the encroaching bushes and trees that could be that. But anyways, we're not quite ready for this discussion point yet. I'm sorry.
We can. I mean,
we keep interrupting you.
No, you're fine. This is a great discussion. I mean, is it a question of, do we want to have a code that addresses it, or is it more the city should be a little more proactive, or maybe clarifying the code? Vegetation that interferes with places where fences are required to be open may be required to be trimmed back, or is it more of just a city enforcement of when it grows over onto the city property, you know, a bush encroaches onto our trail. Encroach is a harsh word for that. It grew there.
Yeah.
But that, you know, we want to encourage people to trim them back to more as an educational thing rather than a code.
I support the educational rather than a code.
Mm-hmm.
And images make the point. So even if you were to make an image and put that in the utility, you know, announcement and the mayor addresses it, please do this. We want to be able to, you know, I think it's all, I totally support people's property rights as well. But oftentimes they're never back behind their house and see what's going on. Yeah. So.
I mean, this picture on the right is kind of a good example. You can see the trees.
Yeah.
And even as I was walking it, I mean, I'm over 6 feet as well. I have to duck or move off to the side in order to not hit my head on the tree branches. So it might be one will encourage people to clear them up 6 feet off the trail at least.
How do you enforce it if they don't? If it's just, if you're just suggesting that they do that, you can't then, can you?
We could make a code amendment to put it in, but do it more as, you know, when the city goes through and maintains a trail, we can give them notice, hey, we're going to be coming through. We might have to cut off these branches. If you want to do it yourself, because usually property owners do it better than the city staff, not because we don't care. It's just a timing thing.
I like that better.
I think that's the point. If it's not an ordinance, it's not going to happen. And while I appreciate education, I also noticed the piles of grass clippings on the other side of the fence all along. And if someone's willing to do that, they're not going to be concerned about anything else.
So I'm saying maybe there's a code. We add in a change that says where a fence is required to be open, vegetation should also be cleared in the same area, something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly how to word it, but something like that.
Yes.
Okay.
I also think we have to be careful when we throw around property rights. People buy property. They don't have unfettered rights. There's still easements. There's still restrictions. I would love to drill a water well on my property, but I can't. It's part of the, you know, when you do your title report, there's restrictions on property. We don't want to limit people's rights that they have, but they just don't have unfettered rights. If codes are in place, they have to obey the codes. If we have easements on their property, they have to obey the easements.
Yes.
So I just think when we're talking about things, we don't just ignore that we have codes, like the fencing along trails is a code, that we just say, oh, they have the right to do whatever they want. They don't.
So my only concern is that we're as built out as we are, and if they're grandfathered in, right, they're not going to know that the codes have changed. So I am concerned that people understand this from here on out. If they're maintenancing their fencing, if we put in a code about maintaining their vegetation, that would be going over into these trail areas.
I mean, we would do, part of it is just as our routine code compliance comes up, we deal with questions of grandfathering all the time. So we can figure out on a case-by-case basis. As more of an education, once we have a code, we can point to that and say, as an educational thing, make sure you're trimming your fences, and here's the requirement. And okay. Some people will comply, and others will have to do it ourselves if it becomes an issue.
And unfortunately, some neighbors will tell on neighbors, and it'll get taken care of. Okay.
Is there anything written in the code regarding trees and bushes along public streets that would be similar to that?
We have it not in our fencing ordinance. We do have like a park strip, and we have other rules about what you can plant in city, because one of our main goals is we want people to plant trees in park strips. We don't want the trees that have the roots that go wide and then bring up the sidewalk or attack, you know, push out the curb a bit. So we're supposed to have certain kind of trees. It's one of a resource of how much we can enforce that, because people will plant a tree. But we do go out and cut trees every once in a while and say, you can't have that tree here. Cut it down.
I have a question about that, or just a thing to make everybody aware. My street, finally, after 150 years, is getting redone. And it was supposed to last year, but they forgot that my street goes in two directions from, you know. Anyway, it's getting done. However, we got a notice saying that we had to cut the trees, which are deep-rooted, smaller trees, you know, they're made for a park strip, because that's one of the things we were sure of, but it grows up over a little bit on the street because of the equipment that they need to do the road. We had to cut severely some of these branches, or they would cut it, but, you know, we could.
Yes.
And that was something unexpected, because we had it clear of the mailbox, we had it clear of, you know, like anybody who had to turn around, because I'm on a turnaround, but I didn't know I'd have to cut my trees down for equipment to fix the road.
We actually have standards about that and sidewalks, because you can't allow a tree to grow in, but it goes really wide, 3 feet off the ground. Because city actually can get in trouble for not maintaining an accessible sidewalk for that reason. So, yes, we do that. I mean, if you had upright power lines, you'd sometimes see the power company come through, and they'll just hack out a tree, and they don't care if it dies. They will cut a corner out of a tree because they have to maintain clearance. So we try to be kind about it, but, you know, if we're running tall equipment in, we have to have it clear.
That's what I was referring to. Yeah. Is there already an ordinance that addresses that need that could be applied in this circumstance on the trail?
It's more about rights of way, which are not trails typically. That's the distinction. So I think if you want that clear, I think I'd have to write something into this code to address that.
I'm not implying the connection. I'm just using that as an example. If it uses that, and I could
pull that language. If you want to make that, I'll look at that language.
Yeah, say, okay, does that language
make that
give
reference
you an
here?
Idea to
yeah,
start?
Yeah, it would be good to know. I mean, we didn't. I checked in all this before we put the trees in, and there's nothing. And of course, I see all the other houses that have trees that are growing up over high enough for a truck to get under. You know all that, but and we keep our sidewalk clear and all that. But that was kind of ruined.
Oh, I'm sure.
But didn't you say currently in the code that if it is a vegetation, then it's limited to the same restrictions?
Yes.
So you could tell those people those are in violation of that restriction, either clean them up or take them down to the required.
Currently we could. So yeah. we already have
so
that.
So it's kind of there.
It's kind of there. I might want to be a little bit clearer about when we're going to do that.
Yeah.
Not just we're going to rip down every tree that's over 6 feet next to a trail. But I like your suggestion. We do have it in there. We could enforce it in that way. But make me a little bit clearer.
Say, hey, either you clean it or we clean it.
Yeah.
We're not going to be all pretty about it.
Any other discussion on the trail? Are you otherwise, do you like these two exceptions that we've been discussing for short corridors and for ones near public property where it's open?
As long as you state that the public property has to be chain linked.
Yes. Well,
that
they add to the code that the chain link on a public property has to be open chain link if it's along a trail.
I don't love that it's next to the school and that a lot of little kids are going to be walking on this trail, that it's high like that on the neighbor's side, because on the school side, if nobody's there or nobody can really hear them or see them, if it's just an open field and no one's there.
So you like the added safety, especially like on this trail, whereas when the school is empty, the residents will still be able to see?
Yeah.
The problem with that is they can grow vegetation and stuff on their side, blocking it all off visibility-wise anyway. Like,
but it has to be 4 feet. Like, it's not supposed to be over 4 feet.
Put on their side of the fence.
Like this one
here,
on the right.
Like here on the right. They can,
oh, that's vegetation.
I get that they can trim that back, but it still can block all visibility, even if they have a visibility fence. Do you know what I'm saying?
But I thought that even if they had vegetation, it has to be, it can't be more than 4 feet high.
Correct.
Yes. So the way the code's written is all of that should be cleared out to make it more visible.
So they're not following code.
This is completely non-compliant.
Yes. Vegetation. Most of this is non-compliant. Mm-hmm.
The fence looks
actually
like
none
it's
of
view right there.
That fence is 6 feet tall.
Well, yeah, but yeah. I see a little view slats right there.
The
you
one
can
on
see
the right
where they used
is
to
a
have
four foot
an appropriate height
slats.
Fence.
I can't. White fence on the right hand side. This is bad. This.
Yeah.
Looks like it's okay, but then the vegetation's.
So at least, well, maybe we'll come back to that when we go towards the motion and see how the count or the commission feels about it. The next change I proposed. Building code change for retaining walls. It used to be 4 feet from bottom of footing to top of wall required a building permit. Now it's just a 4 feet difference in grade. So it's fewer permits for retaining walls, which is nice. So we recommend making our code match building code on that one. It's so anytime there's, if it's a 4 foot grade difference or if there's a surcharge, meaning the retaining wall is holding up more than just dirt, you built a pool or a structure right on it, then you have to get it engineered so it actually can support the additional weight, whatever you're putting on top.
So what are you asking that it get engineered is the difference? Not going taller, right?
No, it's just we're clarifying. It used to be we required a building permit if the wall was 4 feet from footing. So it was like a 2.5 foot retaining wall required a building permit. You have to go get engineered plans for it. Now it's just if you have 4 feet essentially exposed or you're putting something heavy on top. So we just want to change it to reflect current code. This is what we kind of just talked about. So the city has an exception in the code that allows us to ignore our own fencing code. We don't have to put in vinyl or fancy fencing if we can't afford it. So for a lot of our utilities or maintenance buildings, we'll fence it with typically the vinyl dip chain link, which is kind of nice, but it's cheaper and more durable. And we decided it might be a good idea to allow other public entities and public utilities the same thing. So the school district can fence their property using the same kind of chain link, or you know, Rocky Mountain Power with their substation over there, they already have chain link, but we're not requiring them to put a vinyl fence or something where
so
it doesn't make sense.
Is this with the new? The
this
new?
Is what we're proposing with the new.
Okay, so I have a question about that.
Yes.
Because I noticed that with the school, and I understand when they have the big fields that they're, you know, cost prohibitive to do anything pretty much more than chain link. But at the front of the school, I noticed at Freedom Elementary when I was on a walk, they've got a wrought iron around their little tot or the kindergarten little play area that looks pretty nice, and it's at the front of the school. And then I noticed Highland Elementary recently put in chain link.
Cage.
Yes, and it looks a little like a prison yard. And
that's how they affectionately refer it.
And I'm just, and I've had people comment that as well. And I'm just wondering, were they not supposed to do that with the chain link in front at this point?
No.
Okay.
They weren't, but they didn't ask us for permission. And it's kind of a question of, do we want to go cite the school district for this, or do we want to allow them to do it?
But isn't the fence to keep people out?
So the situation with that is the kindergarten, I sub there a lot. So the kindergarten mm-hmm. classes are right there, and that's where the buses come in and people drive in. And the kids are always running around playing tag mm-hmm. and zipping around. And it's just they have their own set time to play.
So it's safety. Right?
So it is a safety thing. It is ugly. Makes them look like they're little little pets. But anyway, and it didn't need to be 6 feet high either, but it is, that is why they have that there. It's just the kindergarten little section.
So that fence technically wouldn't be allowed under our code. We are proposing to allow that type of fencing for the school district or any other public entity or utility.
So I'm wondering if we can just add exceptions that if it's in the front of the school, that maybe it not be 6 feet high, because these are for little kids. They're not going to be scaling the fence while they've got teachers out there watching them. And, you know, and then maybe if it was a black chain link, I don't know. I just think the silver chain link just looks really industrial. And it, yeah, it just doesn't look nice in the front of the school, in my opinion.
Those are good points.
There is to me also a big difference between the vinyl coated, the black chain link and or whatever, and the regular silver. For yeah. some reason, the black looks
it
kind of industrial in a
it
good
kind
way.
Kind of fades into the...
Yeah, it's very, it's attractive in some places.
Silver kind of reflects, you see it more.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the prison should use the black coated, make it easier for the prison.
So would you be more comfortable with it if it were a, they're allowed, but it's restricted to the vinyl coated chain link?
Yeah.
Let's see how we've written it here.
I wanted to give an example of that. In American Fork, when they were deciding to put a fence around the irrigation pond that's on Alpine Highway or between Highland and American Fork, they wanted to put chain link. And I just didn't think that would look nice, and neither did some of the others. And so we paid a little extra money, but I don't know if you guys notice it when you go by, but it sure looks a lot nicer. So I think it depends on where it's at, where certain things are as well.
So maybe I would propose, we talk about maybe chain link, maybe it's maybe vinyl coated chain link. Okay. I will add that note. And then the last bullet point there was we also wrote in there that the city can require them to maintain open fencing along trail corridors. So that's a new thing that we really require them to maintain that always to be open along our trail corridor. Yeah. Let's see. That's what I have proposed. However, I've had some conversations with residents and with others regarding other issues with fencing. And so I wanted to bring those to you in case you wanted to consider those or make any recommendations on that as well. First is height. Somewhat a controversial one. The current rules are, generally, you have a 6-foot fence. If you have a retaining wall and a fence, you have 8 feet if it's a privacy fence. If you have an open style fence, you could put a 6-foot retaining wall and a 6-foot wrought iron or vinyl open fence on top of it. There's no rule against it. But you can't put a 6-foot retaining wall and then a 6-foot concrete wall on top of that. If you try to do that, you have to set your fence back 4 feet from the retaining wall to make it less of a monument.
And that 6-foot retaining wall is retaining earth.
Yeah, it's actually retaining ground.
Yeah. We did a whole thing where we had to have 4 feet.
Yep.
So the kids don't get stuck up there.
So that's the current rule. If you have just a standalone fence, we measure fence height from the average finished grade within 5 feet on each side. I have some diagrams to kind of show this. We don't currently have any restrictions, though, on how you can regrade your property. And I've had this kind of come up. I think some of the newer builders may be excavating a home, and when they rip out the dirt for the footings and foundation, you spread it across the rest of your yard, and you end up with a home that gets raised a foot or two off of where it used to be, which allows you to put a retaining wall around most of your yard and then put a fence on top of it. I don't know if that matters or not. It's an expensive process to raise your entire lot's property line, you know, property grade by a foot or two, but we don't have anything that restricts it. We only have rules about how high you can have a retaining wall and then how much it has to be set back if you do that.
Didn't we talk about keeping the grade of wherever it was, especially when we were talking about the lots up here on the foothills? We were talking about maintaining the grade instead of building all the retaining walls, and I get that if it's even on a flat lot, yes, you can raise it, and then you end up building retaining walls. So that other stipulation does not apply here?
So we have a bunch of sensitive lands issues where you already have steep slopes. We limit how much you can terrace or grade into your yard. But if you have a relative, under 15% slope, it's nothing that says, if you have just a flat lot, that says you couldn't just raise the entire lot. I mean, under our code, theoretically, you could build a ziggurat type
six-foot wall. No, wait. The guy, so Country French behind us.
Yes.
That guy went 15 feet of retaining wall and leveled his yard. But we've now restricted the 4 foot because of that.
Because that was the one that triggered.
He went 15 feet, leveled his yard, and then put a fence up there. And there's a home right here looking at that. And so.
So we changed the code to require your max 6 feet exposed, and then you have to set it back 6 feet. And then you can do 6 feet again. So it requires a lot. You can still do that. You could terrace it and make a little.
But you can't do that anymore.
6 feet. You can't just do a straight wall. Yeah. Are there? It was more just that's our current rule. Do you have any concerns? It's expensive. I don't know that people want to do it that way. And you reduce your yard, but someone may do it, and I'm sure at some point someone will.
It has been done.
We've had it done with 15 feet. I haven't seen it yet.
The other lawsuit that we, when I met you, was the other guy that. Filled his, remember, he started his pool without a permit?
Yes.
And he built 12-foot. So his neighbors on either side of him are looking at this. He literally took his lot and just raised it without a permit or anything.
So we fixed it to an extent, but do we want additional regulations like what you were suggesting of some kind of limitation on changing the natural grade of a lot? It gets tricky to write that because you always have to grade a lot to build on it. It's just...
Yeah.
When a subdivision goes, they have to grade it, they have to excavate it, the dirt has to go somewhere. We could try to write something, but it'd become hard to enforce. And if we're talking about natural grade, once a fence goes up, I don't know what the natural grade was. I'll walk out there and see a fence and say, well, that's where the ground is now. I don't know where it was 15 years ago. But if you wanted, if that was a concern, we could talk about it. I was just raising it as it's been discussed before, you care about it now.
And I have a question because I have almost the opposite thing going on. My yard on the south side does have a chain link fence, 4 foot, that's been there for, or 5 foot I think it is, that's been there 30 plus since before we moved there. But it's on my property, on the edge of my property, the whole thing, cement and all, is on my property. The guy next door, we're on a hill, and so the fence is here. Well, he wanted to level, he terraced his yard and he leveled. And he dug right up to my fence so that the cement is even showing the footing. And shouldn't he have to put something there? My yard is now going into his yard, yeah, you know, just because of it.
Yes,
and it's only, it's probably this much, but it's enough that, you know, and we did a lot of plantings and creative, but even those are starting to get. So I don't, we
need, the general matter,
should write something about that.
That's not something that usually the city would do. That's a private civil suit of someone has damaged your property by doing something on their property. You can't excavate your property under someone else's and cause their land to subside.
Well, that's what happened.
Yeah. So, but that's not a code issue. That's a private property rights issue.
Right. Oh, so how would some? I mean, we're not going to do anything. You know, we've been working with this for years. But how would someone sue on something like that when there's no code, there's no anything about it?
You don't, that's not a code. That's, all we right. talked earlier about property rights. You have a property right to
keep
not
my own
have
dirt.
Your property damaged by yeah. someone else. That's
you
a trespass claim.
On their property that then affects your property.
It also comes up with drainage. Someone will redo their lot and cause it to drain. We actually have a code that says you can't do that, but there is just a common law rule about you can't cause more, you can't channel all your drainage that used to go everywhere into one little corridor and shoot it at your neighbor's house. You don't need a code for that. It's just a damage. So you accepted yours.
What's that?
So that's a good point. So if there's not any concerns, we also had, so that was fencing height. So I just wanted to show this. Just so you kind of get an idea, this is kind of to scale. So when we look at a fence, if it's just a standalone fence, we measure 5 feet on either side, kind of take the average, and you can get 6 feet off of that. If you have a retaining wall, you are essentially allowed 6 feet from the higher property as long as it's not 8 feet, more than 8 feet from the lower property. If you don't have any concerns about that, that's great.
I'm glad you have diagrams.
Yes. I have to draw it myself in order to figure out what the code's saying.
But these are going in the code.
These aren't. I could put them in the code.
A picture is way better than just trying to describe it.
We do have some help sheets. I can make more like this. So as long as you're fine with this, we'll just continue as it is. More fence height issues and setbacks, which is what I think all of our public is here for. So generally, as a rule, we don't allow fencing within the front setback, first 30 feet of a lot. Side lot fencing, you can put it essentially on your property line, which is usually right back of sidewalk, but it has to be open. If you want it to be a privacy-style fence, you have to set it back 14 feet from the curb, which leaves a little bit of a gap, and I'll show you. So you can see good examples of both. This is on Canal Boulevard here. So on, you see someone put it on their property line. It's right next to your home. Yeah. I was out there walking. So there's the open-style fencing right on the property line. The other side is set back 14 feet. We've had some comments, and the residents can talk to it. Along collector streets especially, we still limit them to 6 feet, and we still require that if they want to do a privacy fence, that it be set back, meaning you kind of get a no-man's zone of property, like you can see in here, where technically that's still the homeowner's property, they're supposed to maintain it, but it looks more like a public property. Where there's noise issues or heavy traffic, do we want to allow more privacy fencing on the property line? Do you want to allow higher fencing, more than 6 feet? I've had requests for 8 feet along collector streets and arterials. Currently not allowed. Same, we have rules about arterial fencing. It's supposed to be set back 30 feet, so along all the highways. I have a resident who lives along SR-92. They have a grandfathered in fence, but they're trying to redo it because it was an old barn split rail type fence. It got damaged. And I have to tell them, you can rebuild it as it was, but if you try to change it, you have to set it back and remove it from your front. And he was a little bit grumpy, which I think makes sense. Why can I not put a fence? I'm right next to SR-92, the busiest road in Highland. I can't put a noise barrier of anything in front of my yard or anything. I said, you can't, but I said I'd bring it up to the Planning Commission because you're going to consider fences. So are any of those items that you'd like to discuss or consider? And we'll have a public hearing so you can talk about this later as well if you want to address the...
So I totally see the noise barrier on SR-92.
It's not a noise. That extra 2 feet doesn't make it quieter. It also, if anything, it deflects it to the people on the other side because the noise is going somewhere. It doesn't kill it. It shoots it to the... If the other person has 6 and you do 8, it's kicking it to them. But you brought this up, and so for the last 2 weeks, I've been just driving. Everywhere I drove, I just thought, if that fence was 2 feet taller, what would this look like if everything started being 2 feet taller? I even brought my tape measure.
He's ready for this. It does make a difference.
An 8 foot. Foot is right there. And you start putting that all around town, SR-92. That's just...
It's more like freeway barrier.
Yeah. The only... Well, I'm just thinking also just ugly.
Mm-hmm.
This is big. If they were to do an 8 foot, I would think that it would have to be two different materials, 2 foot and 6 foot, and only on major collector roads like SR-92. We do it with commercial properties. I remember the Chevron station, they had that bigger sign they wanted to do. We broke it up with rock and then something taller instead of all one big piece, which it breaks it up so it looks a little nicer. I think if we were to do something on the, I'm not saying no to it, but not a pure 8 foot sheet of white or whatever they're gonna say. And we should probably say on these major collector roads, there's a standard so we don't get a hodgepodge of like white fence, 6 foot, 8 foot. You know, we're going to get all this hodgepodge. My biggest regret on most of the big subdivisions I've done is I didn't specify fencing where it's viewed by the public. And I literally have a picture where you have a redwood, white, dark, natural pine, all these different color fences down the main street of this really great subdivision. And so you just have to be a little careful if you start saying, if one person goes to 8 feet and it's all one big plane, I think it's just gonna start looking. I would say
do what we just saw in the trail system, put your 6-foot fence and then put big trees, you know, and let that kind of break. I think that does more to muffle the sound.
Yeah, it does.
You can do an 8-foot fence, as we've discussed, with a retaining wall, but you actually have to retain something. So that was the right diagram over there. You could have up to 8 feet if it looks like that, but otherwise, currently it's not allowed. So if 8 feet's not something you're interested in, what about the side lot fencing? Do you have any desire to change this standard?
And what's the standard that you could bring the privacy all the way to the sidewalk?
Yes, that would be the request. So right now, you can see it's open fencing. If you put it on the property line, so that's where that black fence is. It's basically right on property line, right back of sidewalk. The vinyl fence on the other side is the privacy fencing, but it's set back 14 feet from curb, which leaves that strip there.
Which creates that little green strip.
It creates a little green space there. That's private property, not city property.
Which is often not taken care of.
I mean, some of them do, but it is harder because now it's a round fence, so sometimes it just gets abandoned.
So Deborah brought this up a little bit ago. Obviously, we have that. You need to have visibility when turning a corner, and we have that already set out. In the case of the wall that was built just by the new corridor that we put in, where everyone connects to that trail sidewalk and then goes down, that is, I'm trying to think what is there, because that's where everyone just about piles up as they come around the corner. Once you come up the hill into Highland from where the golf course is and you come up to the Alpine Highway, and then you're at Alpine Highway and there's the sidewalk where everyone rides on, or the bike strip. If you're on the sidewalk or the bike strip and you're trying to go down, you can't see what's coming.
Going on to Canal Road.
And so there's like this. So I was wondering how that applies in this regard over there, because there isn't visibility.
They're still within code, because I know exactly where you're talking about.
Yeah,
and I nearly run into somebody
every time. Especially now that everyone's got an e-bike and they're going.
It's by the big white barn.
It crossed.
Canal Road. Highland Highway.
And the retention pond is across the street from it. And that is, dang. I was just curious if it is completely up to code, because it is so accident prone.
Our site triangle is, I think it's 40 feet in from the corner, but it sounds like a lot, and sometimes it's not as much. It's designed mostly for the car right up at the intersection to be able to see. It's not designed so you can see it from any kind of distance back from the intersection.
And the problem is, inside where that vehicle is, you have a whole nother course of traffic with the trail system.
Oh, we are fixing, is that the?
That's the trail corner, the corner with the trail.
Canal Boulevard and Alpine Highway.
It's a trail and a sidewalk at the same time.
Yeah,
with a
blind corner.
We're fixing one trail connection with 6000 West.
No.
But I don't think it's that one.
No.
You this can't is fix this. This is a mess.
And it's a concrete.
Good enough.
Anyway. Anyway. So I was just curious if that met all the codes, because the problem is inside that line of visibility is a whole nother trail system that adds more traffic. It might be fine for the cars, but it's not for the bikes and the pedestrians and the trail.
I think that one might meet code. It's still not necessarily safe.
Not safe at all.
So was there any discussion on this, or are you fine leaving this as it is? I mean, obviously hear from the residents, but I wanted to give at least your take on that.
What do you guys think about this one right here?
Which?
The one that's up.
Leave it as it is.
Yeah.
They actually changed. I know I keep referring to American Fork, but they actually changed theirs to make it so that the fence could come to the sidewalk. And it just doesn't look good, those corridors where the fence is right there. It looks very enclosed. It doesn't look very inviting or aesthetic.
Well, that black fence is, to me, a lot more attractive anywhere than that white one is way back. So if it was open and like that, it probably wouldn't be so...
That looks nice right next to it because it's open. But I just mean the enclosed ones.
But I'm with you, Deborah. I would prefer it to be against the line if it meant the yard was going to be taken care of. They're not going to abandon it. I agree, it looks better when it's back, but it also looks horrible when it's not maintained. So.
Yeah, you took a really nice picture. You didn't show up bad.
Any other concerns?
We're not giving you a lot of answers.
No, these were not proposed changes, just seeing if you had these concerns, and then obviously you'll have a public hearing, listen to the public on any items before you make your decision.
So, Rob, or fellow commissioners, I do have a concern. The legal definition now in 2.A.2, it defines a fence as a non-vegetative structure like a cement wall or a, you know, any sort of man-made substance. But it also includes trees, shrubs, bushes. So I don't think that that's a good idea to define trees as a fence, because that would mean we'd have to go through Highland and cut everything down that was under 6 feet. And I know that's not the intent, but just the way that it's written, if we could tweak that a little bit. Or get rid of vegetation as part of the fence definition. And I don't know if anybody else agrees or disagrees with that.
So let me bring up an example. In that same section of trail that's in my neighborhood that goes over to the Llamas, if you're heading towards the church, crosses 6,000. We just pulled it up on the map. There are several houses that have done their whole yard fencing just in vegetation. And a lot of them are older, and it's not maintained. I think it's two houses down from that trail. And it's at least 10 feet high or more. What if we take it out, where does that leave it?
They're
like
don't mind the
flowering bushes. Okay.
Yeah, like if there's a 20-foot rhododendron, mm-hmm. Awesome.
Okay.
But I mean, almost all of the trees here, even just outside here,
yes,
we want to go and just.
But what about shrubs, not trees? These are shrubs.
Same thing to me.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So if I'm hearing that, we remove vegetation as a fence, but still add in something that where we clear out, where we have the open requirements, that we don't allow vegetation to replace that, or do you care? So I'm going to go back to, say, this picture. So where the black fence is, so right there, that's property line required to be open. Could they just put a hedgerow along there? Mm-hmm. Are you fine with that? And maybe that's the answer is, hey, you want a privacy fence?
Sidewalk.
Grow something pretty, and mm-hmm. It's good.
Yeah, or being a bit pedantic about it, using this picture, if you took that 6-foot high thing and then just went along with a chainsaw and just said, no, all of the vegetation has to be whacked, that would look horrific, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's attractive to have. So things that we can do to sensibly encourage beauty would be important to me. But
okay, so here's another question. When you, if we're taking, and I'm agreeing with you guys, I'm just asking in different scenarios. So there's a corner lot in my neighborhood where they have the corner's here, their house is here, and then they have a very long lot. They've always wanted fencing because people come and play in their yard, kids on the way to school, take all the fruit off their trees, but they're told they can't. And she's like, I wanted to plant shrubs to kind of distract it, but that's counted as a fence if she puts that along the property lines. So she's never been able to do it.
I'm saying let her do it.
So if you change it, you'd allow
that
to happen.
So if we change it, it allows the people to do that.
That'd be great.
Okay.
As long as it doesn't.
So we like vegetative fences.
Yeah, it can't block the view corridors.
Yeah, we still have we still have view corridors. We still have side triangles.
It can't grow into the corridor.
Yeah.
Okay. I agree with all that. The only concern I have with vegetation is if it's fence-like on a trail, like one of our things. If it's blocking, and I do believe people should be able to grow whatever they want in their yards. But I don't, that's the only time it frightens me is if there was one, the picture over here, and it had the white fence that was short and a little opening, and then so much vegetation that it was blocked, you know, the
so you don't
so that's
mind
a
having
hard one.
Perhaps vegetation as a fence, but you want to make sure you still clear out trail corridors, you still keep sight lines open,
you can't block
any of that, but otherwise fencing is fine.
Yeah.
Vegetation is fine, even if it looks like a fence.
But it can't
even privets.
You just can't have it grow over. Mm-hmm. Sounds like that's a pretty solid recommendation from the Planning Commission. Other than that, if you don't have anything else, our recommendation is you hold a public hearing, and then I have a few notes here about some things you've talked about, so I might throw that together again for a motion for you, but open this for a public hearing and hear from the residents.
I have one question about theme walls.
Oh, yes.
So Jerry was talking about how he did the development and they had all different fences. Is it currently in the code or that we, when we ask for fences or theme walls along major corridors or when developers are putting in developments, can we specifically request a certain type of fence? Because I know even when they do the concrete walls, sometimes it looks like stone, but then they leave it gray, and so it just looks like concrete. So can we request that they maybe do a specific one so that it's all uniform, or how does that work?
We could. Currently, we have some materials that we allow. So we allow a variety of materials for theme walls, precast concrete, masonry, brick, stone. It's usually the hard, solid type fences. But we have never gone to the detail of this specific style. And it's, in some regard, we could do that, must be colored, if you do concrete, add some color to it, make it look like rock or something. We had a discussion, council's been talking about the Alpine Highway fence for a long time. And one of the issues is they would like to encourage a uniform fence. The problem is, if you have different contractors do it, they can't match each other. Everyone has their own separate design style. Even if you mandate the same design, it's hard to match concrete to concrete. But we could have a proposal. If you're recommend, with theme walls, maybe we say adopt a uniform color standard for theme walls.
So
the same time, but what do you do with existing?
Well, they're grandfathered then, aren't they, if they've already built? So there's a fence along, I think it's 6500 where Madison connects. It's the street that Freedom Elementary is on. Is that 6500? Yes. So there's a really nice looking fence along there, and the same fence is on Alpine Highway in American Fork on the west side of the road. And it, I don't know if you probably can't see that. I can pass my phone around if you want to look at it, but it's really nice looking. It's very neutral, and it actually looks like stone. I don't know, but if they're already putting in a theme wall that's stamped concrete, I don't know, can we request that it look a certain way?
We can't, and we do. They submit their theme wall as part of the subdivision design. So I review that with Foxwood Estates. I reviewed their theme wall they're putting in next to their trails. So usually we just say they propose something, and if it looks concrete and good, we usually say, great, do what you want with your development. We haven't had a specific, design, do it this way or color. But we could, if Planning Commission wants to make that recommendation, we could add that to the code.
Sherry, I like that. I like architectural uniformity, and I think it would look very attractive. Where the devil is in the details is at the development stage, we can mandate something. But let's use the Alpine Highway as an example. So that fence is all the same. But the moment the homeowner purchases the lot, they are now responsible for maintaining the fence. So if the fence falls down, they can replace a wood one with a concrete one. You can have a psychedelic pink right next to a baby blue, because that's the homeowner's choice. There's nothing mandated in our present code that says you need to replace it with exactly the same look and feel. So it is a sort of thorny issue.
So in our current code, when you've identified something that's a perimeter wall, like you just said, or a theme wall, if that were to go bad, they still have to put up the same theme wall, right? They can't just turn around and put a wood fence in the middle of a...
No, we hold them to the same. If they replace it, they have to replace it with a concrete fence or whatever was approved, or as close as they can get to it.
In between, they can switch stuff, but if it's the perimeter or the theme wall,
yes,
it has to be replaced.
The Alpine fence is a good example that we've struggling because that theme wall isn't currently allowed. We don't allow wood. But the wood's kind of falling apart in some places, so we've asked, can they replace it? So where we're currently at is, yes, you can place it with wood, but the council also considering, well, should we fund some kind of level of helping people get to a concrete fence that's better for that visual corridor, and they've been talking about that for months.
Yeah.
So,
as long as it's not the same person who decided to put in the ugly yellow up and down canal belt, we'll.
So, if that's a recommendation, you can absolutely propose a, you know, come up with a standard theme wall design, and we could say, because we have standard designs for a lot of different things, we could have here's the city's standard theme wall, and it goes in all new developments and. All replacement theme walls have to match this design and coloration.
Done that down Boulevard. If you guys want to look at her fence suggestion.
They start replacing them with that over time. That could be the standard Highland design going forward when theme walls are built or replaced.
Chris?
Yeah, that's it. Does it? That's what I'm talking about. It doesn't look nice. Thank you. Well, if the new fence that just went in on Canal and that new development where it goes down Canal and then it goes down where the wetland is, I was walking by that and they haven't colored it. It's just gray. But if you look closely, I think it's like fiberglass. It's not even concrete.
It's supposed to be concrete, I think.
Yeah, same. Somebody hit it and then, yep.
I need to have a talk with the developer because vinyl and plastic's not allowed. Huh. That's good to know.
So maybe we'd be more specific on here.
If you'd like to propose, you know, we can come up with a standard theme wall design, and that could be a separate, we'd have to adopt that by regulation, but we could come back with a proposal of adopt a spec for theme walls. We could take that.
And at first I was against it because we're almost built out, but I was talking to Chris and it could be a requirement anytime somebody has to go to replace something that's on a collector road. You know, fast forward 30 years from now, then everything starts looking, as long as that manufacturer doesn't go out of
Mokohisa.
They're not cheap. The precast concrete, they're durable. They last for a very long time, but they're not cheap. They either don't have a fence or they have to replace it with that fence. So we would, this is what we're dealing with piece Alpine Highway fences. We're trying to help people replace it. There's some also back history. We're kind of almost a reimbursement grant program of you do half of it or you do 75%. Council hasn't picked the number yet, but a percentage and the city will help pay the other half or whatever it is to get it done. Yes. So we could come up with a spec and say this is Highland City's theme wall design. It's no longer permitted materials. It's just see this design standard and you get close to it. Only for the, yes, fences along collectors. We require a theme wall. With that, if you know the comments.
Or what about when developers are doing a big development and they're putting a fence in? Could we put that in as well?
So we could, we've traditionally only require theme walls around collector streets or open space or trails areas. We don't require just to fence in the entire development. We usually let property owners in the future decide what kind of fence they want to put in their backyard.
I mean, if the developer is putting up a fence as they're developing, can we ask them to do a similar fence?
We could. We'd have to mandate by code. I mean, like, they typically only put up a fence when we require it. Every once in a while, they will just because homeowners are asking for it, so they're trying to incentivize it.
An example of that is on 6000, where that new development is, 6000 and 10400. They put a fence around that development. I don't know. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? So something like that, where the developer puts in the fence as they're developing.
I think that's a good idea, but our other mandate of affordable housing, that kind of falls in there too. So we got to be careful how much we mandate.
Well, right now, I mean, Jerry and I are developers. We are required to put in precast concrete fences, whether we like it, or theme walls, whether we like it or not. So whether if the city says it's got to be a magenta or a purple or a bright pink or a, you know, a certain style, that's just a choice.
Do we allow brick?
Yes.
Yes.
I was referring to the entire 30 acres or, yeah, the whole thing. That's excessive is what I was getting at.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I agree. I wouldn't say that. No, I just meant if they're already putting it in on certain.
I do have two concerns with that. One, if we're subsidizing, Highland has no money. Two, to mandate that or don't have a fence, then you're going to have this theme wall with a gap looking into someone's house if they can't afford it. I think it's an expensive option. It is. It's really nice. But a lot of these properties on the Alpine Highway, too, are grandfathered in. They're well established. It's going to need to be updated. I am concerned about, I think it looks great. I just don't know how you can tell a citizen who's got life.
I mean, those are discussions that the council's been having about the Alpine Highway fence specifically. A lot of our theme walls that we have put in with development, they're all in relatively good condition. But we have it in there. It's the property owner to maintain it. If it falls apart, most of our developments don't have HOAs, which was, you know, other than property, the other entity that would maintain it would be an HOA, where they collect fees in order to replace a wall when it collapses or has an issue, and most of ours don't have that. So it has to fall to the property owner to own it, or it has to fall to the city to pay for it. And the city, as you said, doesn't have a ton of extra money lying around. So what we do now is we say, theme wall, you have to stay with what got approved with the development. But we could change it to, this is just, going forward, the theme wall for everything. But it would leave people, as you're suggesting, either they replace it to that standard, and currently it's roughly $100 a linear foot, or they don't, and they just don't have a fence.
But just real quick, the walls we're talking about are already nice walls. So when those come down, they still have to put the nice wall up. They can't just go get a cheap wall. Yep. In between, they can do what they want. So I don't think we're really putting a burden. We're just saying, you're still going to put a nice wall up, but put this one up. And maybe it's a little more, but it's not like you're telling them to put up a theme wall versus a picket fence wall. That's not the trade-off. Just to kind of, because I see where you're coming from. If it was a picket fence wall, like pickets, and then he had to go put the concrete one in, then yeah, I could see that. But right now, everything that we're talking about have some sort of expensive wall that has to go in anyways. So. That's why they're talking about subsidizing.
Yeah, they got wood because they were older development before we standardized our theme wall. Okay. With that, I would recommend a public hearing and listen to it and see if there's anything else you want to recommend.
All right. Let's go ahead and open up our public hearing. We'd like to invite you to come on up. Please state your name, your address, and try to keep your comments to 3 minutes, please.
Okay. My name's Robbie Robbins. This is my wife, Jenny. And we've lived at 9774 North, 5580 West for about 18 years. Now that there's a through street, our street goes all the way over to Cedar Hills. The traffic has increased exponentially. It rivals the Alpine Highway, or sometimes it seems like I-15. And we've never had a fence in the 18 years. My entire backyard and most of my side yard borders Canal Boulevard, 9774 North at that point. So we're just here to basically request an exception that we could put in a backyard. Since the light and the traffic have come down our street, our dachshund that we've had for more than a decade has been run over and killed by a car. We're just, for safety purposes, I don't believe that putting a 6-foot privacy fence in our backyard would obscure anyone's vision any more than our house would because of how it's situated. And also, we would like to put the fence right up next to the sidewalk because 14 feet in at our backyard almost cuts our yard in half and is pretty ridiculous and doesn't make any logical sense. That's our request for an exception, and our fence would match our next door neighbors to the south, which would be a 6-foot solid tan vinyl fence. So that's basically why we're here. 9774 North, 5580 West is our address.
I can pull it up. Yes.
We were right across the street from the black.
I walked out there personally to take the pictures and to get a sense of what your property looked like.
Right. Thank you. And I appreciate the Planning Commission's time and any consideration for any of this. So that's our house on the corner there. And basically, when I say a backyard fence, it would be about where his cursor, his cursor was, and just going from that direction to meet our neighbor's current fence that is there. And I don't know if I've exceeded my 3 minutes or whatever, but
fine. We're not a packed house.
Okay. I know that there are, including the wall that Mr. Howden mentioned on our street, is right on the sidewalk, and I can actually document or whatever other fences that are right up to the sidewalk, and they're not 14 feet back from the property, which would, you know, significantly cut into the yard. So anyways, that's our request.
Thank you.
And I'm just going to say why we're requesting is since we've lived here, two houses have flipped.
Can you state your name for the record?
Oh, sorry. My name's Jenny Robbins.
Can you zoom out a little bit so we can see the whole?
And since we've lived there, two houses have flipped into people's yards because people drag race down that road where there's the little, what do they call that, shoulder? People use that for a second lane, so they've almost come up and hit my kids on the sidewalk. Sorry.
That's the big.
Sorry, traffic is so loud. And one car came up on our yard, so it's just getting crazy. So we're trying to push up and get a fence, basically. Sorry, I don't talk in public. That's probably, besides what Robbie said, I think there are reasons. We haven't had a fence in the past, but it's just getting out of control now that we disturb. And we have 7 kids, and so we just need safety for everyone. So that's where we're at.
Thank you. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So they put speed bumps there. How are the
speed bumps?
All the
way down.
But there's a curve. There's kind of a curve. Does that slow people down before they get to the?
Actually, people line up to drag race right about where that arrow is. They'll go down, and we watch it all the time. They'll go down, make sure there's no cops. Then two cars will line, and they go around that.
I can hear them because I live right over there, and around midnight, 1 o'clock, you can hear drag racing all around town.
I mean, just the other day, we were having a little fire, and two cars just line up. They don't care for how they're watching. They just do it. Motorcycles. We love the open trails there. I mean, it's nice to have that canal, but it's just we need something. And the open fence, like our neighbors got that you saw, the ones that you guys like.
He's trying to see where it's at.
That's just a hard issue for us because we have little dogs, and it's just so noisy. We get the Alpine Highway noise and that road now. And when we bought, it wasn't a through road, so we didn't know it was going to go through. So.
We'll take it back.
That's kind of a wrap. I don't know if you have any more questions, but
thank you very much.
So if I may just clarify, so your request, and it's kind of not really a Planning Commission thing, but the request to the zoning administrator, who's Rob, would be currently the code mandates a 14-foot from curb.
Yeah, in from order, the curb.
And so you're requesting...
So yeah, we're just
would
right
be
on the
9 foot instead
because
of 14 feet.
If we do 14 foot, we have to go all the way around our house.
Yeah, so understood.
Some, yeah.
Yeah. So you're just requesting 9 feet instead of the 14.
The 1 feet. Like, so we can come right on, yeah. Sorry, whatever you say.
Yeah, because
right
the park
sidewalk.
Strip is
oh,
four,
yes.
The sidewalk is five, yeah. That's nine, and then city code tax on another
yes,
four.
You're right.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to.
Sorry, I'm not good at this stuff. Thank
so
you.
Just so I'm clear. Like if this was my house, you could come off the front corner of the house where that tree is and fence that entire part of the yard into the backyard. Is that accurate?
So I
could come straight across. Yeah, you can.
You have to stay 30 feet back from front setback.
Right.
So
that
my mouse is frozen.
Because that is still considered part of the backyard.
This all is front, so it'd be about here-ish.
So you can fence to that point.
To that point, and then...
And then, well, with your view thing, too. But,
yeah.
But then you can fence all the way down and in to have all of that fenced in and protected.
Because it's a collector road.
And honestly, we were just thinking
just saying,
after
they,
that tree,
they,
so
they
not even that far
lose,
out.
Their backyard isn't just that one part. They can fence that whole big grass area in as well, right?
Yes, as long as it's back behind...
Behind the curb.
30 feet from the front.
30 feet from the front,
but and then you can come
14 feet from curb
yeah,
on the side.
You can take
side
that
triangle,
fence line.
You can take the fence line there.
The way down, which would also.
I was trying, and then it keeps locking up. So it starts roughly here-ish, would be 30 feet back.
Yep.
Depending on where the side triangle is, it might be a little bit further back. So I'd probably guess maybe there-ish.
Yep.
They can start having a 6-foot fence. If they want to have it privacy, it's, you know, roughly where the mouse is, and then they could, it went in a little bit too much, but
right.
It would go all the way.
But all of that can be included as
and then down to match the fence on that side over there.
Because really where the sound happens is the first 4 feet of a fence because it blocks the tire to the road. And so the more you run that fence along that road up to your 30-foot mark, it'll also block a lot of that road traffic coming straight at your house versus once you go eight, it's really where you see. You see tires, you hear the sound. So really the first 4 feet is where you get any kind of a, from the tires. But if you're able to, were you just going to fence in that little back part as your yard? Or are you going to go?
I think the primary concern is whether to have this gap right there.
But that's because they said it made their yard nothing. But if you include all of this, right?
Right, but it runs. So 5 feet times their frontage along Canal Boulevard.
Right.
Right. And we're really just trying to do, like, from that tree in the front corner, behind that, because our gas line's there, and I think that has to be up, and just come straight out, so it's not even.
Yeah, just all along there.
Does that make sense?
So the real issue is, in order for them to get what they want, we would have to change the entire city. You can't
yes.
do a variance for a specific issue right there because they're on a curve. Like, could you make an allowance because they're on a curve? It won't look like a street.
I couldn't. They could apply for a variance. Doesn't always get granted, as one of our public here knows. They just got their variance denied. Typically, fences are not considered substantial property rights that warrant granting a variance. So... Which is why I recommended to them that they come tonight to express for you to consider their opinion and their.
And it's just hard because down the street, like you guys already pointed out, that new development where the marshland is, they're right on the road with the, well, you guys said you thought it was rock wall, but it might be vinyl, whatever. So they're right on the road.
So
and
they
then
didn't keep the code?
Right down the brand street. It seems like it's
the
on the road a lot. So even just down the street
that
from us.
That is a brand new subdivision, not keep the code.
Exactly.
I'll have words with Todd Train.
Sounds like we have another fence that needs to be.
Yeah.
It's in here. I don't see their fence, but.
So there they are. For
yeah, but what is out of compliance is down to Costco, where the city redid the road. That's, I measured that it's actually 9 feet, 6 inches from back of curb.
Well, even on that road where it goes over the little bridge thing, they're right on the road. So.
On the bridge, we probably did it because you don't, bridges are really expensive.
Yeah.
But, so that is in compliance.
It should have been. I haven't measured it personally, but.
It's 14. Yeah.
Okay. So that's where I'm really struggling is to write an ordinance to catch things like this. You can't do it. And in historically, Board of Adjustments would address the case-by-case things, and that makes more sense here.
But the way
we don't have Board of Adjustments.
This is more just a product of how state law has gone. They've really removed the discretionary bill. That's part of the legislative-administrative divide is administrative gives applicants the right to get an approval, but it also means cities have to comply with mandatory requirements of our code. I can't, as the planner, approve a fence that doesn't meet our code. Not if I want to keep my job, and I do. So it either has to be granted as a variance, but that is a very high standard to meet, or we have to write a code that allows it, but you often, with those type of things, you craft the code narrowly, so it allows, you know, people who have corner lots adjacent to collector streets, or people just on collector streets can do that type of thing, if that was something the commission was interested in.
So you've had a chance to think about this.
I've been thinking about this for,
we've been trying.
How would you address it, or what would your recommendation of a code to fit something like this, how would it read that's not going to come back next week and say somebody took advantage of it and made a mess somewhere else?
It's hard for me to make a recommendation because this is just a policy call. Highland has always wanted either open fences near right next to a sidewalk, or if it's going to be closed, it's set back. It's kind of the whole fences have always been about preserving open space in that feel. So if you wanted to write something like that, I would recommend limiting it to collector roads. Homes that have frontage on a collector road can have it set back on there. Whether you should do that or not, I'm not making that recommendation because I don't live in Highland. It doesn't affect me. I'm not saying your request isn't a good idea or not. It's just that's for you who live in Highland and will drive the Highland streets every day and live here. Is that the feel you want for 6,000 West, 6,400 West, 4,800 West?
Well, let me ask you this.
Yes.
I'm kind of touching on it. There's collector roads, and then there are collector roads. Like SR-92, I wouldn't consider a collector road.
That's an arterial.
This almost is an arterial, isn't it? Isn't this a lot bigger than a normal collector road?
So we have a 3-lane and a 5-lane collector standard, and then a 5-lane arterial. The only arterials we have in Highland are UDOT's roads. Our collectors are Highland Boulevard, Canal.
Is Canal a 5 considered
now,
a 5-lane?
I was going to, let me just pull up our transportation general plan, but it's, give me just a second. General plan, transportation.
Yeah, like your road? Compare that road.
So here's our transportation map. So you can see the green are our 3-lane major collectors. Our blue are our residential collectors or our minor collector standards. And then everything else that's not marked are considered local streets. So you can see the arterials are the UDOT roads.
So where's this road we're talking about?
This is Canal Boulevard down here.
And what's that considered?
A 3-lane major collector. So it's the highest road classification that Highland has.
And there's only that and the one up there.
There's that. Highland does have this arterial, which is Highland Boulevard. That's the next standard, but other than Highland Boulevard and the UDOT roads, Canal Boulevard's our
is our highest. So you could make highest. You could change a restriction to apply just to that.
Yes, we could apply it to major collectors.
Major collectors.
Which is applies here, and I think 4,800 West is the only.
The wider the road, the less you feel confined.
Correct. So our highest ones, we also now have a 4-lane arterial, which is 4,800 West down there.
Sure.
Which was a whole.
Keep going all the way up.
No, that was what the Planning Commission heard twice. So the council approved a 4-lane arterial on the south side to fix the intersection was their goal, but. So the only major collectors we have are 4,800 West and Canal Boulevard. And as we go through the general plan, we'll update this transportation map with reflecting things, you can keep that classification.
So I'm not saying, I'm just saying we could say that the requirement on
end up here.
The major collector roads could be this. Because the wider a road gets, the less that little piece matters, because it's just open. The narrower it gets, you want that extra whatever. So you could state that on a road like this, they can do the privacy up close, because there is the, those roads get more drag racing, traffic, you know. It's not like this big, enjoyable thing, but because it's so wide, like when you rock down SR-92, that little bit of difference wouldn't make a difference. It's just open. And you could say that about that road, right?
Yeah, you could limit it to just...
That, we could say that on this kind of road...
On major collectors.
That could go there. And it could be the solid whatever. To me, that would make sense, because you're not saying everywhere you can do it. You're just saying on the real busy, big freaking roads where they're driving a lot and high traffic, you could say, hey, let's... That's okay on that one.
But Jerry, the counter, and I'll contradict myself, the counter argument to that would be, if Andy was here, he would be saying, hey, the reason for the 14 feet, you know, park strip on both sides, basically, of the sidewalk, is to just add an additional element of safety.
But you don't have that. If you go view fence, you can go right up on there. You're still putting a...
Yeah, it's a silly right arbitrary thing. But yeah.
It's more the feel, not really a safety, because with the view fence, you can go right there. We're just saying on this main arterial, you can make it safe.
Well, that's where our code is really contradictory, because if you're doing a new development, you're forced to do 14 feet. And you don't have the leisure of putting in a see-through fence. You have to do a concrete one. So then you have this hodgepodge. And so I'll argue both ways and convince myself both ways.
Anyway.
And that is a major collector road, but it's also very residential. I know the people that live on there. There's lots of kids, and like you live on there too. I know a lot of the people that live on the west end there, and I would like their input on that as well, because...
But they don't face it, right?
So there's sides. Most of them are on the sides. Some of them are on the back.
Yeah, it's all their backyard.
One of them's in the front. One of them faces it. But, I mean, the aesthetics comes into it, too, I think.
I think we have very few that actually face Canal Boulevard. There might be one or two.
Yeah, because that was a planned arterial.
It's been a planned arterial for a while.
Yeah.
But there might be a couple. I mean, there's some old county parcels that do lots of weird things that I keep finding.
And I don't know that aesthetically a solid fence here... What is it? Four foot difference?
That's five feet. 5 feet of difference.
I don't think that fence looks any better that farther. My two cents.
If you wanted to grant, you could give me the general direction, make the recommendation. I'll figure out the language for it. But if it's, you will allow the privacy fencing to be on a side or rear setback, if that side or rear setback is adjacent to a major collector. Cabinet to Canal Boulevard, 4800 West, and actually there's one more up Beacon Hills area. But that's it. That's all I would apply to. And I actually know 4800 West, they've talked to me about that, because they're worried because of that road expansion project, what they can do for their fencing as well. So they'd probably appreciate that.
It's just me.
That's a major change, though. I think you need to. Yeah.
I don't even know if I look at that as a major change, because that's a big road versus, I think a major change would say all arterial roads.
Well, just for our neighborhood, we're the only ones that own out to the road. The rest are the open space. So it doesn't affect anyone else in our cul-de-sac at all. So if we had a fence out
there's
there.
The Windsor Meadows areas, most of them are on cul-de-sacs off of it. The most back onto it, as you can kind of see all along.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm following the trail.
I'm guessing the ones that back onto it that come in 5 feet are not going to go mow that strip all the way back.
No, it looks awful.
When I say a major change, I mean the look of it. That's a, Highland's more about open spaces, and if you've got the fence coming right up to the sidewalk, it is a very different look.
Yeah, I just don't see somebody mowing that strip out there.
And they don't. There's, we found one where it is maintained. Area of Canal Boulevard is very pretty because of all of your neighbors doing great work, but there are areas where that fence is set back, and it's...
I mean, some of those people would have to drive their mower quite a ways to go mow that.
Yes.
And if you think about it, the canal is right over there, and it's not, well, it's the natural grass, so it kind of, people just don't care. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Else that would like to speak?
Hi, Andrew Patterson. So, yeah, my address, I'm actually in American Fork, but I'm doing developments here in Highland. But address is, sorry, now I'm thinking of my office. It's 1001 East 1060 North, American Fork. But yeah, actually looking over this code, I need to talk to my neighbor because they've got their fence, privacy fence right on the sidewalk, but that's American Fork, not Highland. And I'm going, that is a frustration I have when my kids play out in my front yard, that they'll actually run out and they're on the corner. And so like right when you come into that neighborhood, you can't see my family if they're out front. So I do appreciate how the Planning Commission has been handling all of these decisions because they do have a lot of impacts. So now I know I need to go talk to my city for some of those items as well. What we had been originally looking at for a city or a code variance was for an 8-foot fence in our development. And one of the reasons we were looking for it mainly is we do have two lots that are affected by the collector road. And to try and help reduce noise and even just looking out for some of the buyers that are interested in those lots, seeing what the codes are in Highland City and knowing more of, hey, this is what Highland City permits, this is what's not permitted, and knowing how to address their needs a little bit more from the get-go. As you can see, this one that the mouse cursor is on, that's lot 110. I guess I call that a peninsula. I'm not sure if there's a different name than that, but where it does have streets on all three sides of it, those ones... I forgot these fine folks' names, but theirs I would consider a peninsula where they've got roads on all three sides, though theirs is angled a little differently. So when we're looking at some of the stuff, I would just like to propose that Highland City considers the 8-foot fence. I've liked what Mr. Jerry Abbott said of separating the fence. If you do to consider an 8-foot fence of doing a 2-foot retaining and then something on top of it, like a 6-foot fence there. But after seeing that the 14-foot requirement, I think that's a great way if an 8-foot fence is considered. Again, the 8 feet is tall. And for someone, when I'm walking on down the sidewalks, I do like to have a little bit more openness. So that would just be my proposal, is if we're considering an 8-foot fence as any viability, that, yeah, we can section it off as a retaining and then a 6-foot fence on top of it. That could be privacy, but I would still include some openness to it. I think that would be everything.
But that 2-foot retaining has to retain something.
I'd be okay if that could be retain something on the other side. Yeah, we've got some of these lots, but again, I know with this, with that code variance, it wasn't just going to affect these two lots. It would affect all possible lots. So when we're coming here, I'm going, okay, this is what I would propose, but I also know better on how to just help the homeowners and buyers understand what to expect. But yeah, if it's possible to even just have that 2-foot retaining, and even we can recommend for them in their landscaping to put some planter strips on the other side so that they have this little higher up area to just beautify their own backyards.
So you're saying with the existing code, though, if they dig their basements.
Thank you.
Oh, I thought it was. If they dig their basements and put that 2-foot retaining wall along that wall, they could, because you said it's not real clear in our code.
So, no, the code is, as long as it's actually a retaining wall.
Right.
Like, that's the proposal. So
they put it in and then
they put it in and they push out, level their ground so it's 2 feet higher than the sidewalk on the other side. They could put a 2-foot retaining wall and then a 6-foot fence on top of it.
So the code already would
the code would allow that currently. But okay. If there's no grading, there's no way to have an 8-foot fence.
Correct. If they grade it.
But if they grade it to make the retaining wall.
In our existing code.
That existing code allows
they can't just put a 2-foot wall in a thing.
No.
Right.
Yeah. And no little planter area that's next to retaining wall. It has to be actual retaining.
Right. Well, they could do that. They could do the 2-foot grade to it.
That's possible now. If you just want to do an 8-foot fence without any retaining, that's not allowed.
So it'd be 6 foot on their side, but 8 foot on the street side. That's current, yeah.
Yeah, so if you get a fence permit that allows that, we could work with that, 2-foot actual retaining wall.
You'd have to fill it in.
All right, let me see if I can. Man, this thing is, I think, dying.
The new mouse.
Is there any other questions or discussion from the Planning Commission?
What do you think?
Thank you. Commissioners?
Just that big road.
Do you want to talk about this? Or are we done with the public hearing? Thank you very much for your comments. That was very helpful for us. We definitely have some situations we need to look at, and we have the opportunity to work with our code now. So thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, the reason for the
how do you guys feel about all the recommendations like that we have? Can you review what it is really quickly?
So
we can knock those.
We have all the amendments that I've proposed. It sounds like you are all generally on board with that, with a few clarifications. So I have kind of 4 things written down.
Okay.
One is to allow the public entities and utilities to do chain link, but require that to be the vinyl dip chain link or any other fence material we normally allow. To change the legal definition of what a fence is to exclude vegetation, but add some clarifying language regarding clearing out view corridors and trail corridors to make sure vegetation doesn't overgrow onto that.
Yes.
Adding a standard theme wall kind of design or spec that we require all developers and then future homeowners to comply with as they either build or replace their theme walls. It'll be a standard one for all of Highland City. And then potentially, with the last discussion, allowing that side setback for a privacy fence to be reduced to be on the property line if it's property adjacent to a major collector. And then the other changes proposed. That's at least what I heard consensus on. I might have missed something, and if I did, I'm not trying to exclude anyone's thoughts or ideas.
And I miss, is that last one, would that help these guys?
That would address their concern.
Okay.
If it's...
Should we address these? Because it sounds like we might not all agree on one thing.
Yes.
But on, should we like?
Maybe go one at a time.
Should we address each thing?
That would be great.
So school district, allowing them to do vinyl or chain link, but also requiring that to be vinyl dipped chain link.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Well, we should
yes.
Or at least give me the heads up so we know that we have the consensus.
You want to raise our hands?
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
It's one no, but I think we got a majority on board. So that one's we're in favor of. All right. The legal definition of a fence, removing vegetation from that so we don't count hedges, shrubs, trees as a fence. So you can grow a fence. We just make sure that trail corridors and view corridors are clear.
Can you add and sidewalks?
And sidewalks,
over 6
yes.
feet tall?
So with that, are we yes or no?
Yeah, I'm a yes.
Okay, everyone's good with that. Adding a standard theme wall specification. So we have a standard theme wall design that we require all developers and property owners to conform to, either when building a new one or if they have to replace theirs.
That faces a
cliff. That faces, this is just anywhere we require a theme wall. Or, I guess, or we could limit it to where it faces a street.
Stick with the definition of theme wall. I think that's the... Yeah.
So we require theme walls along certain trail corridors and certain collector streets.
That's a hard one.
So requiring a standard spec?
I'm not ready. I mean, I love the idea. I kind of do feel the same way as far as when you start replacing, you know, whatever, you have to replace it to the theme. But I'm concerned also about the expense to the homeowner or the expense. I mean, if it's on the major corridors, we're probably not going to have as many homes as.
But again, the expense is still expensive because they're taking.
They still have to do it.
These are walls that are already nice walls, except
yeah,
for the.
That's true. True. Yeah, that's a good point.
They have to do a theme wall. It's just we're telling them what kind of theme wall they get to do.
Okay, I like that idea.
No, we don't.
Yeah, but if somebody starts hodgepodging it,
yeah,
we're talking about the replacement issue. So you could have different fences still. Okay. Yeah, I don't like that.
But
so currently, someone could do a theme wall, and they'd have to comply with what the developer got approved originally, unless the council approves something different. I think the suggestion would be council just approve a theme wall that we just go with. We don't have to do on case by case anymore. It's just we hand a developer, if you're near a trail, here's the 4 foot and 2 foot one. And if you're not near a trail, here's the 6 foot theme wall and you just build it. If you're doing a parkway detail, here's your theme wall.
Yeah. Like one
just,
look?
Just one look. Unless you want to specify, you know, adopt three different ones. But for consideration, so if you've driven Canal Boulevard and Ridgeview, they kind of have, almost looks like stucco. It is cement or concrete, yeah. But they have like brick monuments with like a stucco-looking concrete. That's a theme wall. If you drive along Canal Boulevard further up, you get to the Hollow subdivision where they have imprinted concrete, which looks kind of like rocks, but it's not really painted. The Williamsview subdivision has a different theme wall going in, so we just let the developers pick which look they want. We don't care as staff, as long as it's the material.
So would you say that you have to replace your theme wall to match your community that you're in? Like, let's say Bull River had one. All Bull River looks like this. But in the case where there isn't necessarily a defined theme wall, that it becomes...
Oh, so is it, if you had a theme wall approved with your subdivision, you're required to stick with that. If you didn't have one, here's the one that you now get going forward.
So if there wasn't a theme wall specific to a subdivision, then you have to use X, like she was saying. If there is one, then stick with it. So I agree. As long as an area looks the same, I just don't want it to be, here's a theme wall, versus whatever it is, even if it's mixed up, it's got to be the same in this community, And if you're replacing a wall that doesn't really have a theme, like you were saying, it defaults to this theme wall.
And maybe we ask them if it's stamped concrete that they make it look like stone.
Yeah.
Well, neutral, yeah, whatever we neutral colors, yeah.
Yeah. So, Cherie, as an example, that photograph, the style is called the style of Victorian. That's the color swatch that they use.
It's a good one.
The only part I'm not understanding is if they don't have a theme wall, how are we now asking them to have a theme wall? That was the part I didn't understand.
Well, I think they're...
If they want to put a wall up.
Well, but if there wasn't one in the first place, how can they fix it? That's where I'm getting at. I missed that in your description.
So it would apply to new developments, I would assume, unless you wanted to exempt it. So all new developments would follow it. Or you could say new development can just pick theirs.
Yeah, new development should just pick theirs so that you get the variety you're talking about. But it's the whole community.
So then it would apply to, and the council is actually going to do something like this is what they're proposing, is they're going to adopt a spec for Alpine Highway fence because they have to figure that one out. So they're actually looking at doing something like this, at least for there. So I could recommend, you know, Planning Commission thought, expand that to other areas as well.
But I see what he's saying. Is there a situation where there should be a theme wall and there isn't?
That's what I thought you were saying, and I I didn't quite understand that.
Well, I just think there are older subdivisions where the theme wall went in, but it wasn't really a...
It was three-rail white vinyl fence. That was a theme wall back 20 years ago.
And you know, to that point, theme walls are specifically installed with the development. After that, it just becomes residential fencing.
How far back, though?
I mean, Alpine Fence is probably the oldest one we have.
Yeah. I definitely like the idea of if there's a theme wall and something goes wrong, then the homeowner still has to stay with the same style that's already there.
We have that in our code currently.
Yeah.
Yeah, just so you don't get the...
Get a hodgepodge of an already designed subdivision.
Yeah.
But in the case of the Alpine thing, that wall's outdated.
Yeah.
And doesn't meet the code. So the council's saying we're just going to say this is what we want.
If they knew, if they wanted,
do we have that situation anywhere else?
I'm not sure that we do. Okay. Not that I'm aware off the top of my head.
Well, just to kind of keep us on track then, what's the temperature of the gang to have this concept of a developer chooses it, or then there's some sort of cookie cutter two or three, like architectural standards, either colors or styles. What do you guys think?
I don't mind if the developer chooses it as long as it's within a certain range of things.
Yeah, that's already there.
Yeah.
I mean, just this notion that outside of a development, you had brought up the concept of maybe we should have some attractive standard of some sort. What does everybody feel?
Yeah.
Sorry, Audrey, I didn't want to hijack your job. Carry on.
Yeah, I like the idea of the developer being able to have a theme wall that goes with the theme of his development, but at the same time meeting certain standards. You know, I mean, as far as, and I know now they have to have, but we would.
Right now the only standards are to materials. So we could adopt color specifications or do, like we do for commercial areas, we say you have to do your buildings in neutral or earth tones. We had that discussion whether white was an earth tone or not at one point.
Yeah. See, I fear the hodgepodge look myself. That's the thing I don't want, is the hodgepodge. But at the same time, I do feel like a certain development should have the theme wall go with what the development looks like. You know, I mean, with the theme.
It does mark out, you know, the Hollow subdivision is the one that has this type of fence. The Ridgeview subdivision has this kind of fence.
But now that we've talked about it, it sounds like that's already in place.
Yes.
More or less, yes. Yeah,
The only problem right now is the Alpine guys, because we don't want that one to stay.
No,
it's the non-development.
That's when we can, That's where I like to see an upgrade.
And do we want stamped concrete just to look like concrete, or do we want to require that they actually make it look like stone?
Not the red.
I mean, it's stained. It lasts for a very long time.
But
stained concrete
does wear out.
It does wear out. Everything fades over years.
Only real rocks do.
So if the Alpine Highway, they want to change it, what would be the process? Do they have to change the whole thing? Or one at a time? That's.
You're jumping in the end of a year-long conversation the council's been having.
We want to get right to the end. Fence.
The code, as it's written, is they have to replace it with a wood fence with the mason, the brick
with the swoop
columns. Yeah, with the dipped. No, so they have to do with that, or they have to go with something that the council approves. At the last council meeting, they gave direction to staff to come up with a grant program and also have Andy come up with a spec for the Alpine Highway fence, something that says, if you're going to update your fence and you're participating in our grant program where we're going to pay for part of this, you have to build this exact thing.
Well, then, this may be a silly concept, but what if we didn't make a decision other than just to say we concur with that and would like to piggyback on that concept of whatever the architectural style is, that the rest of Highland that is not in a development would just be in harmony with whatever council decides to go for on Alpine Highway.
Is that for all future developments to comply with that? Or just...
No.
The developer can still pick
Yeah, so that, that's, so the non, this is outside of a development.
Okay. I don't know if that's a dog. Yeah, piggyback on that. Say you approve that for Alpine Fence, consider allowing that for other residents who are trying to replace a theme wall to do that as well. That's the standard.
I say we talk about it when we figure out what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. I like that idea.
Let's table this one for now.
That's the thing.
I love it.
Yeah, I love that idea. I don't know what they're going what is going to be picked for that. That may, you know, that all of a sudden would be the standard for everything.
I'm not hearing strong consensus on this item in any particular way.
Or how about we just table this and don't even.
Yeah, just.
What do you guys think?
I'll talk with them. I'll say
they're going to ignore everything we say.
Applying it and see what they think about it because they could impose that. So it sounds like the theme wall spec is maybe a discussion, but not a part of this code. And then the last one is what the residents were talking about regarding you want to allow for the privacy fencing on property line adjacent to major collectors.
Specifically the green one.
Yes, that's the major collector.
Okay.
It's in our general plan is what a major collector is.
Yeah, but what's the point of the 14 feet? Just to make it look open?
Just make it look open. It's also, the other advantage when we were looking at this is bikers who, they're supposed to be on the road. But
the view fence comes on.
If the view fence can, but most people don't like view fences.
Bike's going to hit that too.
So that was the only other thought is where we have the privacy fence, you can still hit a view fence. If you have the wrought iron fence, you still are having it right next to the sidewalk. So we do allow it. I don't know why that has been the standard for the privacy, but it has been.
It's because of the open.
I think it's just the open feel.
Right.
Yeah, what are we use my our development on 6,000 West. I mean, it's as wide could possibly be. So why are you forcing, why is the city forcing me to do 14 feet versus 9 feet?
Yeah. You're talking about the road
lane.
Where you live?
Yeah.
That's 6,000 West is
that's not as big as this.
It's a collector.
It's a collector, but it's not as big as this.
Yeah, there's no chicken lane in the middle.
It's not as big.
But the open.
So I guess so I'm trying to understand. We talk open space. What is defined as open space? Because if we're saying the trail's 30 feet, 50 feet, 100 feet, the roads with the sidewalk and the curb and gutters approaching 100 feet, I would call that.
Our standard local standard for a right-of-way is 56 feet. So our collectors go to 66, and then I think we have a 70.
75?
The major is the 72.
Yes, that's the major collector standard.
Plus curb gutter and all that.
That includes it. So the 72 feet is from out of sidewalk.
In of sidewalk.
All the way to the other side of the sidewalk.
So if you add the extra 4 feet on both sides, that puts you close to 100. Not really.
If
80.
If it's a view, you could have the solid, and then the view could pop out 5 feet, and then come back in and pop out 5 feet.
Yeah. Just pulling up our design specs to make sure I got those numbers.
But I agree. I wouldn't do it on the narrower ones because that is a
our three-lane major collector
open, but on a 72 foot
70.
74 back a sidewalk back a sidewalk.
That's why.
Yeah. No, that's what we're saying. It's marked in that map.
Yeah.
There's just the green line here and the one up here.
Yeah, it's not. There's only a couple. Yeah.
So,
there it is.
So my personal concern about this is we're changing a city ordinance to solve one home. Like that just. I'm happy. I don't mind if it's 9 foot from back of a curb or 14 foot. I really am impartial. But it just seems like this is the wrong, you know, they're in a difficult situation because they got the strange lot configuration. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we're changing some
thing I don't
for
think
the
I'm,
entire city.
I don't think I'm changing it because of that, period. I've never done that. People have come in and that's why I told her, I said, to solve your issue, we have to change everything. But when you got a road like this and it starts to make sense, then I'm okay with it.
But most of this is built out. And this is, I think, like you were saying, like a Board of Adjustments issue. And like you said, they probably wouldn't go with it. But I know when I drive in other cities, West Jordan particularly, my husband's office is there. And it, there's a very wide, 9,000 is the street I'm thinking of. It's extremely wide. There's residential on both sides. And they've got the fences right up on the sidewalk. And it doesn't matter how wide it is. It still looks awful. There's no, it's not open. It doesn't look aesthetic. But so those drive, are my two thoughts, and I'm not going to say anything else.
Where that 5 foot turns into weeds. I just don't see on that particular, because that is a major collector, there's no access to, once they move that in, they're not driving their mower all the way out.
Right.
Up onto the sidewalk to their little piece to mow it. They're just not doing it.
Right.
Well, we don't allow grass anymore, do we, on those? Aren't they supposed to be Xeriscape?
That's private property.
Wheat.
So. Well, Xeriscape. And most people that take care of their stuff are going to take care of it. I mean, if they're going to be like at weeds.
Would not go out there.
Well, the thing.
I lived on that.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think most people would. But what I saw when we were looking at the pictures, and we saw that picture with the open iron, black iron fence on the, right up to the sidewalk.
Even the Xeriscape.
Well, even with it open. Even with it open, there were weeds growing along the outside of the fence between the little sidewalk and the fence. There was still, see the little, see?
Those are plants.
Oh, those are plants? Oh, well, they might be, but I don't know. But see, I'm saying if it's open to close, it's going to look pretty crappy.
So the question they're asking for is, will you allow, say, this white vinyl fence to be back a sidewalk?
I want to get rid of that white vinyl fence. Where it is. Yeah, see, that'd be horrible.
I agree that we don't want to change just to suit one. And Jerry, I'm with you. I don't think we are. But that's how 90% of the things that we see come about is because of one example that drives us to make that. So I don't know. I struggle with it. I'd rather have it be there and so it's taken care of, but everybody has their different ideas on what looks nice. And if we do it for this one, are we going to do it for someone else? Someone's going to come and complain, I'm sure. But yeah.
But we wouldn't be talking about this if it wasn't for the person that came and complained.
This absolutely. Agreed.
I don't see what the difference is between the three-lane versus the five-lane. Like, if we
still
were to do it, it should be uniform across everything.
I'm with that. Also, put a privet hedge all along the back for, 6 feet or whatever it is, and you'll get your privacy and look a lot better.
By doing the code change to change the definition of a fence, you are allowing hedges to be planted on property line that can serve as a privacy fence as a consideration.
Well, yeah. I have some that are growing pretty fast, 5 years, and they're already 5 feet tall.
Okay, so just a quick review. We have a consensus on all of the items but this one, correct?
Yes, consensus on two items, punting a third item, and then this is the last one.
All right, so let's hear from all of you on this particular item. Jerry?
Chris has got me going a little bit on all of it across. I'm for sure okay with the green road moving the fence. Totally okay with that.
Okay. Chris?
I might be in the future be willing to go to all the others, but for now, I would be totally fine on this major arterial.
I still don't understand what the purpose is of 4 foot, 5 foot, 4 foot. I would, because that's how it's structured. We've got park strip, sidewalk, and then this weird additional 4 feet. I would rather, or 5 feet, sorry. I would rather just have a 9 foot park strip and 5 foot sidewalk. Because the way that it's been explained to me is that this is like some safety, magic safety thing somehow. But if you have this corrugated iron fence, that's silly. The person on the bicycle is going to clip their handlebars. So I think if we're going to go for it, we should just make it uniform throughout the whole city.
Okay. Claude.
I feel the same if we're going to do that. Just make it uniform.
Can you talk just a little bit louder so we can all hear you?
I agree with that. If we're going to make it uniform, let's do it for the whole city. It's just that when I look at their lot, I wonder how did that come about? Were they contacted and said, you know, this is going to really be screwy, and or did they just ignore it? But
they've been there for 18 years, they said.
And the right of way has been there.
Well, it hasn't been a.
The road's only been there for a couple of years.
Right.
But the traffic right-of-way changed. Has been there for
a... I don't know if. That's their problem. There's probably another.
No, we changed
lot the or two like that in the city, but
I think maybe by changing our specifications for what a fence is, they do have the option of a vegetation kind of fence boundary that might help with noise, and it would help with safety.
Giving people the option.
Nothing helps with noise. Nothing. 8-foot walls don't help with noise. I can hear it all.
You could do this. And then
absolutely.
Hey, they could do this. If it's a safety thing, they could do this today.
Pardon?
If it is a safety thing, they could do a corrugated iron fence today.
Yeah, that's true.
And then plant bushes.
That's a wrought iron.
A wrought iron. I beg your pardon.
Yeah.
Now I lost my train of thought.
Yeah. They could do anything.
I think they said they have a little dog.
His dog. Making it uniform, especially when it comes to new developments. Yeah. I don't know whether we should, for new developments, have one
thick bushes
set, and for existing, have another.
Rough.
No, I'm for doing something.
On the green roads.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay. All right.
And you guys know how I like it the way it is.
Okay.
None of the above. No, I don't know. I'm looking at this picture and I'm seeing that wrought iron fence up there, and I said that looks nice to me. Fine. I'm looking at that white plastic fence and thinking, that against the road, 6 feet tall, that. I mean, I see some of that in the neighborhoods that it's noticeably. So I'm having a real hard time with that. And I'm from places where we grow a lot of vegetation to block things. And so I kind of like the idea of, you know, for privacy, you know, they could do something like that white one a little ways up and then put bushes or whatever behind. And nothing's going to help the noise. I'm sorry. I don't know about this 8-foot wall noise thing, but everywhere I've lived and everywhere I've gone, I can hear the noise, you know. So I don't know whether what I'm voting for. I just think that I can't see a white 6-foot or 8-foot fence along the curb, along the sidewalk. I guess I'm kind of against it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, I don't have a problem. So, on all my running and rides and stuff like that, when I see the fence with the space and it's not cared for and everything's growing everywhere, it's all up and down 6,000. In fact, it clocks all the trash. No one goes into their house that way, so they never look outside that fence. I think, and I'm sorry, you get an older couple that moves in and has a hard time keeping up the yard and they're not capable of doing it. It gives them a whole extra activity.
Yeah.
And that's thinking high of it. So the ideal, what I've seen in some of these new developments, which we can't do anything about, is that the sidewalk is near the road. If you want open space, it's behind the sidewalk. Then you don't have all the water going into the gutters.
You don't have all the vegetation going into the gutters. You've got a wider sidewalk, a smaller green, and then the fence on those wide areas. But we don't, most of ours aren't that way anymore, but a bunch of the new developments are doing that. It makes so much more sense.
But see, even the fences that are up against the road, like looking at this black one, there's weeds growing all the way down the outside, because there's always going to be a gap because you're putting your cement to put the post
in. If you put those concrete things on the fence,
yeah, if we say you have to do that, then that's different.
And that's what this one on the right has done underneath their fencing. I know a bunch of fencing companies in Highland, they won't even put in a fence unless it's this grade because they can't warranty it with our winds.
But that could go again. But
anyway.
You're talking about against the sidewalk. There's still weeds.
I'm talking
about
the fence.
There's weeds either way.
So what I'm saying, I don't really have a problem with the fence on those blue. I'm for it. No, just the blue areas. The green. Yes.
I think I have a consensus for at least allowing it to be reduced to be on property line, privacy, or major collectors. Did I hear? I don't think I heard four for the entire, every fence in the city. Or two. Trent, were you in favor of allowing it everywhere?
I am not in favor of allowing it.
So I think we don't have consensus, but we have a consensus on major collectors.
Yes, major collectors.
We can go there.
So with that, that's the last of the items. Get my mouse to work. So maybe I'll just restate it, and then you can make a motion as I state it. But you liked all the amendments we talked through, with three additional changes, specifying that the public utilities and entities allowing to use chain link is to be vinyl chain link, not just chain link. That we revise legal definition of fence to remove vegetation as part of being a fence, but also make sure we enforce sidewalk clearing, trail clearing, and view corridors of vegetation, but otherwise let vegetation grow. And then allow for privacy fencing along major collectors to be put on property side lot property lines.
I move to do exactly what you said.
I second it.
Yes.
Okay, now we vote.
No.
Yes.
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 Thank you very much, and thank you for being patient with everything. All right.
Thank you all for your discussion.
Would anyone like to make a motion to? Oh, let's go ahead and go over the future meetings. June 4th is our city council. June 18th is a joint work session with Alpine, American Fork, Cedar Hills. And are we invited to that?
Oh, yeah.
It's a public meeting. Everyone can attend. We have a lot of city councils that are going to be filling this room to talk about the recommendation. We have a new report coming out about what it would impact Highland and all these other cities to create three school districts out of Alpine. So if you're interested in that, I would recommend coming to it. There's not public comment, but the public's welcome to attend and hear that report.
Thank you. Okay, June 18th is that city council at 7, and June 25th will be our planning commission. All right, thank you.
That's it. Okay. I move to adjourn the meeting.
Second. I third.
Yes. Everyone vote?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes,
yes. Yes.
Thank
yes.
you. That passes. Thank you. Thanks, Rob.